Part of what inspired the Something Different is the place where we had the program today. When we were driving to the place where we had the program today, I was commenting to Rati, right over there is where the Qatars used to live, and right over there is where Jagatananda and Vrindavan used to live.
First
time you go up. Yeah. Come on in and join the program, he's in motion. You're invited. Come on in and join the program. Right here, have a front row seat. Lots of room. Come on in and join the program. Yeah, I told you people come in. So, just being in that neighborhood brought back all these fond memories. And then remembering the Russell family lived in, was it Grays Lake?
Gurney.
Way out there. And like all those memories and how that started. Is your mom going to be coming to this room? We're going to.
Oh,
Shannon coming?
No.
And I started thinking even before that, like, when I first started coming to Chicago, I just do a little of that. I want to speak about community, but I'll speak about, you know, from nothing to community to where we are and where we need to go. That's the topic. A little different. Except for the first 3 months of the first summer when I became a devotee at the Boston Temple, my life had been pretty much just New York. Traveling Sankirtan all around the country, but based in New York, and it was New York, New York, New York, New York, New York. And then something happened, I took sannyas and I started traveling around. And I started thinking of people that I liked spending time with, and one of them was Krishnaprabhu Prabhu, because he, like myself, was very dedicated to reaching out to college students. So I contacted Krishnaprabhu and we made a visit. And it was a whole month of 2 weeks going in this direction and 2 weeks going in that direction, just visiting college. Maybe it was a week and a week. I think it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks and 2 weeks. Just going to visit colleges. It was really nice. And the GBC of the Chicago area at the time was Budri Narayan Prabhu, who lives in San Diego. Like I was New York, he was San Diego. Now I'm visiting Chicago, and he said, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could be co-GBCs in Chicago? You like to do preaching, I like to do management, we make a good team. I really don't want to be a GBC in Chicago, but I like preaching, and if I can have your association, that would be nice. Lo and behold, 1 year later, he said, oh, I've got too much going on over here in California, and maybe you should be this GBC in Chicago. You tricked me. No, I'll continue to help you. Just, I'll do that stuff, and you do the preaching stuff, and we'll work together, but I just don't want to have the title GBC. Okay, see when this train is going. Okay. And then, Prithushava and Donna Kelly didn't want to continue in the role of temple president anymore. They wanted to just get in the van and go visit colleges. I went to associate with Prithushava, to associate with him doing colleges, and then he leaves Chicago to travel around and visit colleges. Wait a minute. And then Vaninath Vasu became the temple president. Vaninath Vasu, nice devotee, not a good manager. And especially with money, he was not a good manager. Stokely Krishna remembers that era. Right? Yes. So it was going down and down, and it was going very down. And then we had a GBC meeting, North American presidents of GBC meeting, and I got, as they say, those who know Tamal Krishna Maharaj very well, I got the sauce. Because he was GBC in Chicago before, but Narayan was GBC in Chicago. And he just stayed in Chicago for months at a time. Didn't go anywhere, just stayed. And it was like, you know, Texas, St. Louis, and Chicago, Midwest. So then it was Bhadri, and then it was Mohanpada Swami and Bhadri, then it was Mohanpada Swami, and then it was, we don't have a temple president. Because after a year, Maninath Vasa didn't want to continue as president either. He really wasn't suited for it. And other, you know, his wife's health and other things. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave me the sauce. Then, you know, he put me on a flame and turned up the heat. And said, look, you know, GBC means, so this we're hearing this is a problem place, and it used to be a thriving place. You should stay there for as long as it takes, as much time as it takes to turn that place around. If you can't do it, get out of the way and let somebody else do it. I didn't like the way he delivered the message, but I knew he was right. And besides, you know, he was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He had a license to, like, insult people and treat people like that. But he was right. I let go of the how he did it part. Just, he was right. So I started spending lots of time in Chicago. And then, you know, in that course of time, I met Jagatananda, and I met the Kattar family, and I met the Menon family, and I met, you know, a few families. Sachi Kumar Premacharangi, and then Nityananda Pranati Mangi, and, you know, where they were like new devotees. And Nirantran Premananda, in fact, you know, the old timers. And this was, this area, the Palatine area, was one of the areas that we kind of, there was more happening here. In the, so I spent more time in the congregation than I did at the temple. And part of the reason was, it was like quicksand at the temple. We really couldn't, there's no, put something in with foundation at the temple, for different reasons without going into it. So I spent time with the congregation more than I did at the temple. And so there are two things that are I just like to share. One of them I shared when I was just recently in Detroit, and that is whenever we had home gatherings, like, you know, it was just in just the very beginning stage, there was a devotee in our congregation, Radha Gopal, who had experience with the Bhakti Vriksha model. Because before he was here, he was in the Middle East. In the Middle East, they can't have temples, so they have Bhakti Vriksha programs. So he knew the system. I remember meeting him, remember saying, hey, let's work together. And so we started a Bhakti Vriksha program. And if Sukha Krishna, whose home was the host of that? Your home? Your home was the host. And Radha Gopal was the facilitator. And we all learned how to do Bhakti Vriksha programs. And then Radha Gopal went back to India, and we had to kind of, you know, piece it together. But we had the model. And then it occurred to me and some of the rest of us that when we have the Bhakti Vriksha program, there should be some activity for the children, because the children are part of us. Now, like, we're upstairs, and the kids go wherever they go, you know, into the room, and bounce on beds and play video games and scream and write things on the wall and tear up the place, and the book program's over, and wonder what happened to the room upstairs. It didn't seem right. So one of the next things we did was, because Murari Chaitanya at the time was, he was one of the few devotees in the temple, and he drove, so he drove me to programs, and he took care of the children. And boy, did he take care of the children. He took care of the children so well. Shamsaki, where is she? What was it like? It was ecstatic, wasn't it? I remember, like, going to your home, because, you know, that was one of the places on a Friday night in Naperville. And the kids were, yay, Murari, and they went downstairs. And they had, whatever they were doing, he would share with me sometimes what they were doing. We would finish upstairs, and they were still downstairs, like, Murari! See, he was cultivating their Krishna consciousness in a way that, you know, matched their capacity to, like, appreciate Krishna consciousness. But it wasn't just like, you know, go somewhere and run around, or kick a ball, or jump on a bed, or play video games, or whatever, you know, kids like to do. You know. That then became a standard. It wasn't like a rule, but it was a standard that wherever we have gatherings, I can remember, before I would go to a program, I would ask and make sure, is there somebody looking after? Who is going to do it? Do they have a plan? It was a standard. And look at the result. We have now, years later, devotees that are young adults that went through that exercise that are they're clear about what they want their lives to be, and they're living their lives. And, you know, there's challenges, there's always challenges in this world, but because of that time that was spent, it's part of community, part of the message of community. Children are part of us. And then there was another part of community related to children. Before, there were a number of couples before they had children. I was asking them, before you have children, you should think about what you'd like to have as a way of educating your children, even before you have children. Or Jagadananda, Nanda Vrindavan, remember that, and the other devotees.
First form was, we had the recording, we were not even chanting, we were talking about the school project.
You had the recording?
Yeah.
Talking about children.
And school project.
And school.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying, you know, there are different things. You can send them to a public school, or you can have homeschooling, or you can have collective homeschooling, you could try to have a school, or, you know, there's different models, and, you know, what do you guys want to do? Better think about it now, because when you have the children, you're not going to be able to prepare, because you're going to be fully engaged in taking care of children, so have something in mind of what you'd like to have. So, there was some, you know, got together, and they didn't have a clear idea about school, although they understood it was important. The model that I heard was a sangha without the temple, without having to manage a temple, a gathering of devotees that work together very closely and could have the essence of what a temple provides without having to put money down and pay a mortgage and pay the bills and do the management, keep the lights on and clean the place. But without the temple management part of just the, you know, the social interaction needs of community. That was the model. The temple without a temple, or the sangha without a temple. So community. And then there was some different ideas of how to do it without going through all that. And finally, it was, let's buy different houses in a subdivision like this, and then, so it's a few devotees bought houses in this subdivision. And then know, there was an idea of having like a Mangalarti together, one place. And there were different ideas of, it went on, it was very nice. Every morning, devotees would come. And then there were different things schedule-wise, so then it became, you know, a little not so coordinated, and different Mangalartis in different homes. And that was fine to have Mangalarti together, but a community. And many things changed over a period of time, and I thought it would be nice just to speak about, again, community, and particularly because of, you know, going to that place where Kaktars lived, and Jagannath and Nanda Vrindavan lived, and, you know, some initial, just the inception of having association. And when, where this place is, this, what's it called, Whispering Winds?
Whispering
Willow?
Oaks.
Oaks? When you go out and then make a left-hand turn, you go past a little Korean church. Every time I go by there, I think, that would be a fantastic place for a temple. Every time. It's not too big. It's got a little parking. Then I sometimes think, maybe if we approach them and they would rent us a space on a Friday night or a Saturday or something, and then we could have like a, you know, larger than a Bhakti Riksha gathering. And I don't, this is the first time I've said it. Maybe it's the second time I've said it. I said it to someone else at some point in time. But before that, we need community. Before we like have a place, because that's the model, that's what happened in Naperville. Of course, there's more personalities and so on. So we have a place, and it was kind of like, it just fell out of the sky. Now there's a place in Naperville. Without having to grow organically with community and working together and doing things and relationships and supporting one another and growing together in Krishna consciousness. And yeah, let's get a place of gathering and gather our resources together and get a place. It didn't evolve like that. It just kind of fell out of the sky. Not exactly, but something like that. The place was a Baptist organization that had been there for some 30 years. Their board of directors lived in the south, and they were disagreeing with each other, which had happened, and so they wanted to sell it. It was like 50 cents on the dollar kind of a price. So we got it quickly. Maybe before we were ready to have such a place, in one sense, because it didn't grow. So now here we are. And it's not just, in one sense, I'm addressing the devotees in Palatine, but in a broader sense, it's devotees. Because just before coming here, I was in Detroit, and there's a group of devotees, and you know they have their temple in Fisher Mansion, but everybody lives out in the suburbs, and many of the people that they might want to extend Krishna consciousness to, they're not going to go to that neighborhood in downtown Chicago, not downtown, but you know, urban Chicago, or urban Detroit. They're just not going to go there, so they need to have some association. So they came up with the idea, let's get together and try to do something. And so they reached out to the community. They've been in two parts of a place called Novi. And it's a very big subdivision. It's like Little India. There are two or three Chinese families. Everybody else is Indian. You know, these big brick houses, and they all look alike. You know that kind of neighborhood. And they're all IT people that have nice jobs and don't have any spiritual direction in life. So now they have, they reached out, and now they have a nice two Bhakti Bhikshu, one over here, one over there, groups. Then there's a third thing that's just for children. The one that's for children is growing like anything. And they said, because I was just there, and the other afternoon we met, and they said, one that's just for children, there's already 10 people. It's just been a month. Because it's for children. You know, and the parents do the same thing they did at Femina's home when she started over in Naperville. It's like it's a daycare. Meaning parents come, drop their kids off, go off, do their shopping, whatever, you know, seeing people, whatever they're going to do, and come back and pick the kids up. Like a daycare. But they think it's good for the kids. They're getting spiritual, you know, while we go do our shopping or whatever they do. And then slowly they started, you know, the kids were saying they want to be vegetarian. And, you know, so the parents, some interest in the parents' side to learn what this is about that their kids are getting trained up in. So then, you know, something for the parents, and then, so anyway. I wanted to read and then go on a little bit more on some principles of, that was just like history. Now here's some scripture where Prabhupada describes in text 4 of Nectar of Instruction a principle behind the formation of ISKCON. It's the purpose of ISKCON is to foster loving exchanges amongst devotees, and then from devotees to foster loving exchanges amongst others, loving exchanges in relation to Krishna. So many of you have studied Nectar Instruction, you know the verse, and otherwise I'll just say the Sanskrit. There's six things. Dadati prati grinati, offering gifts, receiving gifts. Guyam agyati prichati, disclosing one's mind. Guyam, in confidence, having others share their mind in confidence. Munte bojayate chaiva, offering some prasadam, receiving some prasadam in exchange. Shad vidham priti lakshanam. These are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. This is Rupa Goswami teaching the principle of association. Because in the previous verse, Rupa Goswami is describing principles that make one's life perfect. And it's, the last two are Sangha Tyaga Satovrite, not associating with worldly people, associating with saintly people. Sangha Tyaga Satovrite. So now he's speaking about Satovrite, how to associate with saintly people, how to develop loving relationships amongst devotees, how to have a community that's based on loving relationships amongst devotees. So I'll skip the first part. Rupa Goswami, he's summarizing. And then Prabhupada says that even in ordinary activities, business people do this. So what to speak of spiritual people? In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees. Sangha Tyaga Satovrite. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. This society was started single-handedly, that's Prabhupada himself, but because people are coming forward and experiencing the give-and-take policy, the society is now expanding all over the world. We are glad that people are donating very liberally to the development of the society's activities, and people are also eagerly accepting whatever humble contribution we are giving them in the shape of books and magazines dealing strictly for the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. He saw that as a loving exchange. Prabhupada was giving his life to his Bhaktivedanta purports, and by his own creation, he came up with a plan where we could offer the books and people could become a life member. It wasn't just receive money from people, it was foster, he's disclosing, foster loving exchange. I'm giving with love, I'm giving these purports, these commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. And I'd like people to have them. And let them help our society to further more teachings and gathering places, etc. Loving exchange. In this way, our society is successfully spreading all over the world. And the intelligentsia of all countries is gradually appreciating our Krishna conscious activities. The light of the Krishna conscious society is nourished by these six types of loving exchanges among the members. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON, because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, 2.62, it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. It is often said that a man is known by his company. And if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. The understanding of Krishna consciousness is innate in every living entity, and it is already developed to some extent when the living entity takes a human body. It is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, quotes the verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sati Kavana, love of God is already essentially within every living being, and it awakens through devotional service, beginning with chanting and hearing. Since Krishna consciousness is inherent in every living entity, everyone should be given a chance to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing and chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, one's heart is directly purified, and one's original Krishna consciousness is immediately awakened. Krishna consciousness is not artificially imposed upon the heart, it is already there. When one chants the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the heart is cleansed of all mundane contamination. And then he quotes Shikshastaka. Not only the chanter, but the heart of anyone who happens to hear the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also cleansed. Even the souls embodied in lower animals, insects, trees, and other species of life also become purified and prepared to become fully Krishna conscious simply by hearing the transcendental vibration. This was explained by Thakur Haridas when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him how living entities lower than human beings can be delivered from material bondage. Haridas Thakur said that the chanting of the holy name is so powerful that even if one chants in the remotest parts of the jungle, the trees and animals will advance in Krishna consciousness simply by hearing the vibration. This was actually proved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he passed through the forest of Jarikanda. At that time, the tigers, snakes, deer, and other animals abandoned their natural animosity and began chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. I never heard the snakes part. How do snakes chant and dance? Anyway. Of course, we cannot imitate the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we should follow in his footsteps. We are not powerful enough to enchant lower animals, as tigers, snakes, cats, and dogs, or entice them to dance, but the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can actually convert many people throughout the world to Krishna consciousness. Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving charity, the dati principle. By the same token, one must also follow the prati grinaki principle and be willing and ready to receive the transcendental gift. One should inquire about the Krishna consciousness movement and open his mind in order to understand the situation of this material world. Thus, the guhyam akyati prajati principle can be served. And he goes on. If one really wants to attain the goal of human life, he should associate with devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, because it is the only movement that teaches how to develop love of God. And it goes on. One of the there's two verses, one in the first canto, chapter 19, another in the 10th canto, chapter 40, that I've been speaking about like five or six times. It's a rerun, but I like it so much I do it again and again. Maybe I can do it again on the Sunday program, we'll see. But maybe last time I was in Naperville, I spoke about it. Was I there? The Maharaj Prakshit, when the sages come to receive him, but he's going to give up his body. Is that what I spoke about? No, something else. Okay, just very briefly. Maharaj Prakshit offers a prayer to the sages who have come from all over the world, and even the verse says all over the universe, to be with him, to be present when he gives up his body. And also he is interested to inquire from them, what should he do for the remaining 7 days of his life? How should he spend his last 7 days of his life to prepare himself for death? So he requests three things. He requests from them their benediction of attachment to the personality of Godhead, unalloyed attachment to the personality of Godhead. Prior to that, he said, I've already given my heart completely to the personality of Godhead. And you can help keep that fixed if you're very kind to me and you just speak the topics of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. His name, his fame, his qualities, his activities. And this will keep me fixed at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. And that's one of his requests. Then the second request is, he said, if I have to take birth again, that was it. If I have to take birth again, then please grant me these three things. Unalloyed attachment to the personality of Godhead, association with his devotees, because in the association of his devotees there'll be this hearing and chanting of the topics of Krishna. But it doesn't stop there. He asks also for a friendly relationship with all living beings. You could stop at the first one, you could stop at the first two, but it's inclusive, because all living beings are also part of Krishna. And how to have a friendly relationship with a tree or a mosquito or a worm or something. There's a very nice quote that I sent out. I was just very amazed. It was Govinda Dasi. She was with Srila Prabhupada and in the Jersey Shore after he had a heart attack, and he was recovering along the Jersey Shore. They had a little house for him. And she described, when I read it, I didn't know it was her, I found out later it was her. There was a slug, you know, like a slimy, yucky thing, blob, kind of moving along towards Prabhupada's foot. She was going, yuck. And Prabhupada looked down and said, chant. And she said, I realized that's like me. I'm like the slug. And Prabhupada doesn't see me as a slug, he just sees me as a recipient of the holy name. Poor thing, Prabhupada said, chant. The friend, acting in friendship with other living beings is not just good day, hello, how are you, how is everything. I mean, those are social formalities or cordialities. But a real friend is the one who extends in an appropriate manner, not some other way, not by force and not by, you know, something that's premature or too much, or, you know, people can't handle it. But a thought of the well-being, spiritual well-being of another. Like, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I've thought about it. That tree that's in the temple room in the Kishore temple, how fortunate. I mean, we're off doing other things, and the tree is always right there in kirtan. How fortunate. So, and the plants. Not that we should fill up the temple with trees and plants. We should have many people in the temple, but the thought of the spiritual well-being of another is the true friend. And different circumstances in life require different kinds of care and concern, but beneath, or at the very foundation of that care and concern, is the spiritual well-being of my friend. And one who can think like that towards others is the true friend. So, that community, here we are. And, you know, so it's at the moment we're in Palatine, or wherever you all may live. And the Lord, the devotees, and everyone. And it's part of everyone is the children. One of the principles that I was saying during this time that we were speaking about, you know, young devotees, married, not yet with children, what do you want to do when you have children to see the education of your children? So the one of the things I was saying is, if you want to have a community, have a school. You'll have a community. If you have a school, you have a community. And it's worked that way. One of the reasons why Alachua is such a thriving community, besides it doesn't cost so much to live there, is they have multiple schools. Because not one school is going to fit everybody's needs. So they have different schools, different people like to educate their children in different ways, and that's fine. But when there's a school, when there's care for the children, then you have community. You want a community? Take care of children. It's really simple. I'll just say the same thing in another way. At one point in time, in North America, we had an idea. It was a forward-thinking idea. It would be nice to have a North American congregation development director. Somebody over here has one in their temple, someone over there in their temple, but to help foster congregation development in North America, to have a director of So we sat together with Kunteya. He visited here once, yes? Last year? So some of you know who he is and his, like, how he does things. So he's really quick. And there were six of us seated in a room in Mayapur, you know, like a little side meeting from whatever GBC meetings. Said, Kontia, could you, you're the co-director of the global congregation development ministry for North America. What are some of the important things that we should be thinking about for developing our congregation in North America? He, without hesitating, he had this yellow pad, he flipped open to a blank page, put his pen ready, he said, how much time do I have? Okay, well, maybe 10, 15 minutes. So he drew a pyramid, and then divided it into three, and said, he did actually get it in 3 minutes. He said, at the top of the pyramid is children, the middle of the pyramid is children, the bottom of the pyramid is children. If you develop programs for children, you develop your congregation in North America. Then he went into detail of, you know, there's this kind of, you know, like people you don't know, and then people you know, and then people that are, you know, very fixed. So different kind levels of training for the different categories of children. If you want community, if you want congregation development, take care of the children. So that's exactly what this group of devotees in Detroit, at least one of them, is doing. They're a husband-wife couple. And they just opened up their door and the children in their subdivision, come on in on whatever it is, Saturday morning between this hour and that hour, and it started to fill up. And then we heard that some 3-4 years ago, Yuval Kishore, who visits in Detroit, said, you know, this is a really good subdivision. Another one is a real good one. So they had 40 people, 40 children. And then something happened, I don't know, somebody left because, you know, the economy collapsed in Detroit, that was like, everything was devastated. So the whole thing stopped. But that's, you know, that's, say, the base of the pyramid. That's people we don't know. And, you know, giving them some introduction to Krishna consciousness. Because something that I learned in my years of being a devotee, you certainly have to take care of the existing devotees, but there always needs to be a program where you're reaching out to non-devotees, because that's something that devotees do. Something that Madhyama, Adhikari, Vaishnavas do. There's beginning, intermediate, and top. Madhyama is intermediate. The intermediate is us. We're being trained to worship God, make friendship with devotees, be kind and compassionate to the innocent and avoid the atheistic people, often go grossly averse to God. Avoid that association, be compassionate to innocent, friendship with devotees and worship. So for our own spiritual growth, we need to do all of them. We need to worship. We need to have friendships with devotees. That's one sense of community. Then another sense is the people around, like Maharaj Fiction was saying, a friendly relation with all the beginnings. So it's not just smile, but it's do something. Like not just a neutral, but an active. For colleges, I have a whole presentation on compassion. And, you know, one of the things with compassion is what you feel. There's a cognitive, there's an affective, and there's a motivational component. Because if you're thinking about the welfare of others, you're feeling about the welfare of others, you do something about it. There's a motivational part. So, friendship with other living beings or compassion towards others is you do something about it. It doesn't have to be like all that you do, but some part of your life is that. If you're going to be complete in the Madhyama position. So reaching out in some form or another, and it's much more effective to reach out in association with others who are also reaching out. Like, you know, we have structures for that in different ways. We go in Harinam together, or we do book distribution together. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is going to come again this year. We'll have like a fantastic time just being with Vaisheshika because he's like a touchstone. He's magic. he can transform stone into like a dancing kirtanier. He's really amazing personality. So we have his monthly Sankirtan festival. We're together collectively, go out and meet people. But it doesn't have to be, okay, once a month I'll meet it. Although that's nice. It can be other forms. Where's Vibhu Chaitanya? In Seattle, I'm embarrassing you, but you'll be all right. There's that couple that you met, you and Kishori met, when you went to, you know, to an Indian store, and you met them, and you gave them a book. And she was into it more than he was into it, but, you know, gradually he got into it too, and you know, their job shifted to Seattle, and now it's like they're fixed in Seattle. But she got a job in Seattle too. But, you know, it happened. Their Krishna consciousness happened because you and Kishori went out and met them. And then not only went out and met them, but a friendship. And not only a friendship, but you're continuing that friendship even though they're over there. She thinks of you as a person who's guiding you and inspires her in her Krishna consciousness. And that's helping her, you know, the situation is complex a little bit, but I'm sure you know the complexity. But, you know, it's that's helping her to stay on the track of Krishna consciousness, without which she'd be, you know, certainly in another situation of life altogether. Just from that, so that's one part of what community means. We reach out. And then another part of community is friendships. You know, we had a whole Gitanagari retreat on loving relationships, expanding the network of loving relationships. And so here, just kind of like a carryover from something that started some number of years ago, there's a number of families that live in this, I guess you call it a subdivision? What did you call it? You call it something else?
Community.
Okay, this little community here. And then just like in our the reading from the deity worship section from the 7th canto, chapter 5, Prahlad Maharaj and the 9 processes of bhakti, Prabhupada is speaking about archana. And when there's deities, then there can be festivals centered on the deity and Ram Navami. So like, again, I was just in Detroit, and there's a lady that lives in there, and now they call it a subdivision. And there's her daughter. So the lady's kind of older, the daughter's like, I think, old enough to be a mother. So they came, and she came only once prior to my being there, because they announced they were going to have something for Ram Navami. I don't know how they announced it, but so she came, and she liked. Now she's starting to read Prabhupada's books, and now, you know, now they have a little bhakti vriksha gathering. So it's like that, slowly, 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 slowly. And that's community. We have Krishna's in the center, and we do things. And as I commented today, I was also thinking of this topic, that our social needs are fulfilled because we're social beings. We like having relationships with others. And while one of the things that you find out when you have community, like when you get closer to people, what do you find out? You find out their strengths and you find out their weaknesses. It happens. So if you don't know, then you don't know. So it's just like you don't have anything to do with each other so much, and it's kind of cosmetic or a little superficial, and you get a little closer, and then you see, oh, they have shortcomings, like I do. And then what do? You could just like back off. I don't want to be with people that have shortcomings. Or at least not the ones that I don't like. And then there isn't sangha. But if you can go beyond that, it's part of growing in Krishna consciousness is to take up those activities that help me and others go beyond our shortcomings by devotional practice. The section that I'm reading from just now and it was again just in Detroit, is a very valuable section for Sakam Bhakta, to become Nishkam Bhakta. Those who have material desires, at the same time some attraction for Krishna. It's pretty much every one of us. Some attraction for Krishna. Some involvement with the material energy. And, you know, how do you deal with that? You don't get embarrassed by it. You apply the thought. There's nice discussion. Kardama Muni, after 10,000 years of, because it was Satya Yuga, of practice and meditation, he achieved perfection. Lord Vishnu came, there's verses to describe his beautiful form, four arms and golden dhoti and beautiful smiling face, looking in different directions, illuminating everything, and just looking very happy. And Kardamuni offers obeisances and offers beautiful prayers. And then he starts speaking about his misfortune or the unfortunate condition of persons who approach him for something material. It sounds like he's poo-pooing that kind of condition. And then he says, I'm in that condition. I have this desire. I've been worshiping you so that I can have a wife of similar disposition as me. So how, you know, but you're so kind, even persons who are perfected, you're even kind upon persons like me. That's encouraging. And then he says, but there is this other process by which one can go beyond those material desires that impel one to approach Krishna or Vishnu to fulfill one's material desires. And that's this process of hearing and chanting and discussing the glories of the personality of Godhead, which is what we're supposed to be doing in the relationships with devotees, you know, in these four stages of a madhyama. Amongst peers, we hear and chant and discuss topics about Krishna. On the ride from the airport, looking at Vibhu Chaitanya, we had exactly this discussion. And well, later you can hear him share what he wants, whatever part of it he wants to share. But it works. When you hear and chant with others on the topics of Krishna, you know, it can be informal, it can be semi-formal, it can be formal, it can be whatever you want. But you do that activity, and go ahead, take care of your dog. It carries one above the difficult struggle with the material energy. You know, the struggle with material energy, you know that one. Daivihiyesha gunamayi, mamamaya, duratyaya. That one? Duratyaya, very difficult struggle with the material energy. Mamayeka padyante, mayamitam tarantite. One can easily cross beyond it. No more struggle. No more struggle. How? Take shelter of Krishna. How? Engage in these loving exchanges with others that have the right foundation, the foundation of hearing and chanting the activities and glories and holy name of Krishna. And do that together. And voila, the struggle is surpassed. And then what happens? Now you become a little comfortable and complacency sets in. And then the material energy starts taking over again. And then more struggle, I need to do more of my... That's called anishtita bhakti, really unsteady stage of devotion. But as the heart becomes gradually cleansed, that stage is surpassed. But we need the association of the devotees. Even the devotees that, like me, have their shortcomings. We can be fixed on the shortcomings, like be fixed upon the pockmarks on the moon instead of the radiance coming from the moon. No, that's called fault finding. See that pockmark on the moon? So instead of being fixed upon the shortcomings of others, which is a stage, I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over, when devotees come together, rather than be fixed on the shortcomings of another, not that you just ignore that it's there, but you engage in the activity that's going to lift us, but all of us, above that shortcoming, which is exactly what Kardamuni is saying to the personality of Godhead. And it's exactly what the Bhagavatam is telling us, and it's what I'm trying to share this evening. In community, it's loving exchanges. It's the formula that Prabhupada said was the basis for the formation of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Or, going back in time, Rupa Goswami, before there was ISKCON, before there was a worldwide Sangha of devotees, the principle of having the proper kinds of loving exchanges, because it's pleasing to Krishna, because Krishna is at the center, we become pleased, we become spiritually happy and lifted above our shortcomings. Even it may be gradual, that's what transpires. Certainly above the struggle, and even above our own shortcomings. So, conclusion. Like, how do you draw a conclusion to this? Like, specifically the devotees in Palatine, because that's where we are, I encourage you, hit the reset button. Think about, why did we move into this community? Is it important for there to be association of devotees in our lives? And if so, the answer, of course, is yes. And how should we go about that? What are ways that are taught here and elsewhere of how we can associate with one another, put Krishna in the center, look beyond my limitations and others' limitations, and try to consider how to be good madhyamas, worship Krishna, friendship with devotees, extending compassion to the innocent, avoiding the grossly, adversely atheistic population. How can we fulfill that role? Or Maharaj Parikshit setting this nice example. If I have to take birth again, let me have these three things in my life. So we cultivate them now. Attachment to the personality of Godhead. Association in its various ways. Association with devotees of the Lord. And a friendly disposition in the spiritual sense of what friendly is. A friendly disposition towards all living entities. How can I move towards that objective? Receiving the blessings of the scripture and certain persons and our acharyas, and there's a wonderful opportunity. Krishna has brought things to a certain stage. When there was a stage when there was nothing, there was no bunch of houses here, but there weren't groups of devotees living here. Now there's a group of devotees living here. Now how to take advantage of that? And then, you know, same principle for those of you, there's some devotees here from Naperville, and same thing. Here we have this situation. How can we move it forward? Or the younger devotees who are, you know, growing in their Krishna consciousness and trying to understand what their place is in ISKCON and the Sangha of devotees, and, you know, same principles. And those of you from other places and, you know, other situations, that the principle of Vaishnava Sangha is repeated over and over. Just one other scriptural reference that, like, very strong. Devahuti, in her conversation with her son Kapiladeva, is she's asking. First, she asks one question about how do I become free from attachment to inordinate attachment to family life, and then the second question is, you're going to be leaving soon. My husband, Kardama Muni, as was promised by my father when there's a son of age to take care of me, that he would go back to the forest and continue his meditation and his practice. So he's gone. And now there's just you, but I know, in the course of time you're also going to be gone. And where is going to be my shelter? Where is going to be my protection? And he gives the same answer for both questions. To become free from attachment and to stay always protected, stay in the association of devotees. Find sadhu sangha. I gave a whole seminar on this in last Thanksgiving. Before sadhu sanghasaka, there's 8 verses spoken by Kapiladeva to Devahuti on the singular importance of association of devotees, especially those who are highly qualified devotees, but devotees. Because devotees are, in this world, they're very rare. Very, very rare. I'm sure you've noticed. I've noticed. Very rare. And Prabhupada once said, we shouldn't expect that everyone's going to become a devotee. It's not going to happen. Because there's always this division of, you know, the modes of nature. People inspired and moved by different modes of nature. But the whole world can change if some, he was giving a number of times, 10% of the world became, that's a lot of population, but if then much of the population became devotees, then the world, the face of the world will change. But at least our lives can change if we have that association. And create the association and take advantage when you have the association, and do so in ways that Rupa Goswami and the Srimad Bhagavatam are advising for us. So, as I said, it was a little different evening together, but sharing with you some thoughts. See if there's any comments or questions.
I was thinking, you said avoiding the non-devotees, and the third wish of Parikshit Maharaj was having a friendly disposition with all living entities. So both of this, how can you do this?
Well, here's one way to think of it. Thank you for being attentive and catching that seems to be contradiction. That's it. Yeah. There's an apparent contradiction. On the one hand, Maharaj Pariksit is praying for friendly disposition towards all living beings. And apparent contradiction is a madhyama is supposed to avoid the association of non-devotees, of atheistic people. So it sounds like it's a contradiction. One of the offenses in the chanting of the holy name is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Why? Because if you tell a faithless person about the glories of the holy name, what will they do? They'll offend the glories. Prabhupada said, this is like the biblical presentation. Don't cast your pearls before swine. doesn't mean you like think that swine are, you know, disgusting or bad, but you don't give them pearls. So similarly, persons who are atheistic, we don't tell them intimate things about spiritual teachings, the holy name or otherwise, because they'll just make offense. It's for their well-being. We don't tell them because they'll just make offense. If you're responsible for others making offense, you have some responsibility for that. So for atheistic people, for our protection and for their well-being, there's a spirit soul that's in this unfortunate circumstance. What can I do to help that person who is in this unfortunate circumstance become relieved? It's not by, you know, telling them intimate things about Krishna consciousness. I can give them prasadam, but I've had the experience where giving prasadam to some people, they just throw it on the ground. That's not good. So, but with the concern for such people should be there. But part of the concern for such people is I don't intimately associate with them. I may be cordial in external social behavior, etiquette, but I'm not going to confidentially go and ask them, you know, what do you think I should do with my family and my career and my life. We don't intimately associate with people in that condition for our well-being and for their well-being. But if I let me think what I can do, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya was thinking, how to deliver in defense of people. That's the friendly disposition. I may not intimately associate with them, but I'm thinking about their welfare. And certain things I'm not going to do because it won't be good for me or for them. Discuss confidential things with them. Okay. Anything else?
So one of the things I mentioned today was about to look beyond our own personal limitations and our own immediate whatever needs and concerns and look to a broader purpose and see if we can come together in serving towards that purpose. I mean, one of the things that, you know, I've been experiencing is that when we see devotees at different, you know, stages of their life, stages of their Krishna consciousness, and they're practicing at whatever extent they want to, and, you know, they are doing whatever. So how do we find a common ground to come together?
You're saying many things, but I'll take a couple of them. Very simply, one of them is put Krishna in the center. So, as Vibhu Chaitanya was sharing with me, I can share this?
Sure.
Okay. He became inspired to different circumstances, just invite some few devotees to come together and read something from Prabhupada's books, kind of like, you know, an informal bhakti ritual, but just not enough, just to sum it. And so Prabhupada's teachings in Krishna are in the center. Read, share, discuss, take prasadam. So it's not about what our differences are. It's something that's satisfying to the soul, puts Krishna in the center, and brings us together, and takes us above the turmoil of the struggle of material existence. the Duratyaya program, it comes to the other position. Or, as mentioned here, same as was mentioned from this afternoon at the Didi installation, have some festivals together. Nrisimha Chaturdasi is coming. And other festivals and other something. And do something together with Krishna at the center. Or for the children. Or for others' children. Like as they're doing, a few, two couples or something. One couple, two couples. Because as soon as they had 10 children, the mother that was looking after the little ones, because the father said he likes the ones, he feels more comfortable with 10 years and older. Now if they do a nice job, what's going to happen is more children will come, so that better they divide age groups, and then they'll need more than two, husband and wife. And then do it together. And that, putting our differences to the side, and we do some common service together. And that's one of the ways that kind of institutionalizes doing that is you have a temple. And then, you have to do it. Or you don't have to do it, but it brings people together. So without a temple, without a structure to maintain the deity worship of, and the utility bills of, and the mortgage and the insurance of, and so on. Without that, you collectively discuss ideas. What would we like to do? And then you do that. Make a plan for the year. If there's a desire to go another step in Krishna consciousness and do it together with others, because we have that thing, you get together and say, okay, what would we like to do this year? It's common you do that at the end of the year, towards the next year, at the beginning of the year, for that year, and now we're halfway through the year. So, but it still can be done with the balance of the year, what we'd like to do. So there's a camp, a children's camp, Krishna camp, a Gita camp. That's something. But I remember where that started. Your mother's not here, but it was a suggestion that I made to Premananda that said, let's have family day one summer day. So, she's very enthusiastic. She made an arrangement with the park, and we had family day. Remember? We were too little. And then the parents said, oh, wow, this is really nice. Let's do more of this. So it just grew. So, there was the moment said, let's do more of this. So they thought that maybe during Christmas holiday, they never got it together because they fizzled by Christmas holiday. So then it became 2 days instead of 1 day. Then it became 3 days, then it became a week, then it became 2 weeks, then it became two weeks, two programs. So it's just doing something. It doesn't have to be everybody doing everything, just somebody doing something together. They're voluntarily inspired, like this one couple, now there'll be two, just happened, now they're going to be two couples. And because they're growing something, and someone else is in another subdivision thinking, well, we can do the same thing over here, and then they have all these people, and then what happens next? So they're going to have a summer camp over in Detroit, from step by step. And then so little help from here and so on. So it just starts with, it doesn't have to be something big, just something that's devotional where we can come together and do something. And that's using the frame of your question, putting our differences aside. Or our stuff, and just park it for a bit and do something for Krishna together. that is reasonably inspiring for a reasonable number of people to do together. And it's very nice. Anything else? Yes.
Practical application question for me. reading about the great personalities like, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, where when there was difficulty, they were able to take shelter. So I was very inspired by reading some of the great devotees' personalities. But, you know, practically, I am finding that when there is some great difficulty in my mind, I can take shelter of hearing or reading, discussing with devotees, you know, that gives. But when it comes to chanting, it takes a lot of strength to overcome that difficulty, or I don't know why.
What's your question? Your question, why or what to do?
Why and what to do. Or what to do, I don't need to know why.
You've heard me give this following answer before. No harm to hear it again. Twofold. Those things that give you strength, do them very nicely, and you'll get strong. And then you borrow strength from there and apply it to an area where you're not so strong in. Very sensible. And the second is, on the strength of the instruction to do so, comes the strength to carry out the instruction. So, Prabhupada's example of that is, from wherever and whatever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should bring the mind back under the control of the self. So that's an instruction. Then application is very difficult. But within the instruction is the power to do so. And one who has faith in that principle, that the instruction and the faith in the instruction and the instructor, then it carries you beyond your own effort. There's more strength in the effort than your own effort to that principle of faith. It's not just you. I'll say it this way. Which is stronger? A, you, or B, you and Krishna? That's an easy one. So to add Krishna, that's faith. And one who is faithful is assured of success. One who is without faith is defeated before they even begin, Krishna says. Moga asha moga karma na moga jnana pichita sa. Without faith, we can't go anywhere. Even in material things, what to speak of spiritual things. Okay? Krishna factor. The Krishna factor. Don't forget the Krishna factor. With chanting, it's a relationship with Krishna. There's you, and there's Krishna. There's your effort, and there's Krishna's kindness. And the instruction to bring your mind to Krishna. So just stay with that instruction, and the capacity to carry out the instruction is within the instruction. And then the contact with Krishna is very enlightening. Still the mind is restless. Still the mind wants to go here and there. Bring the mind to Krishna. Second one, you had something?
Many things, sometimes.
Too many things. Pick one up.
Yeah, Maharaj, one practical thing. That I'm thinking it will help us, this specific community here. If many devotees want that, to you also offered this earlier once, to have somebody walk through with us as to what we want. We can have the discussion ourselves, but then also to have somebody walk through with us in setting aspirations.
Sure.
I feel, because in this community, it would be nice to have some overt, I don't, like when I say overt, I mean not like forceful, but some, you are the unofficial leader in this community, but also like hands-on here, you have somebody, you can have somebody like that. So this is a specific discussion, we could even have it with you separately, just the community members, like way back we were.
Okay.
Many years ago.
Did you all catch what he said? Yes?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Huh?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
If it's something that's wanted, I mean, what Jagatananda is saying, we're doing globally, we're doing continentally, we're doing regionally, and we can do in smaller units also. Like we just had a Midwest regional gathering. There's a global GBC. We get together, now it's twice a year. We have a midterm meeting and an annual general meeting. And we have other things to do in between. And then at the annual general meeting and the midterm meeting, we make plans looking for the future of the world, of ISKCON. And then there are groups of us that are on committees that are doing things to help the world of ISKCON. Then we have North American leadership, and we have, it's called, we just use the same language as conventional strategic planning. We plan things. Then we have ongoing committees working on planning things, to make our North American leadership better. It goes on in a temple basis. The Chicago, the St. Louis, and Naperville centers have had strategic planning. What are we going to do over the next, what are our goals? And so it's facilitated. And there's standard ways of going through this. How the corporate world does it is different, but some of the same principles apply to how we do it in our religious organization. And it's happened in Minneapolis. They don't have a center either. But Nityananda Prahn, at their request, they had a strategic planning session. Now they have a plan, and there's follow-up on the plan. So we can do the same thing here. It's ideal if it's done in the beginning of the year, but it could be a mid-year something, and then just like half a year or even anyway, and then plan to do something again, a revisit in the early part of next year. And it's not a management thing. It's hey guys, what do you want to do, kind of thing. And then collectively, there's some ideas or an idea or two emerge of, this is something we'd like to do. Then you have a focus and you spend some time together. And then when you do common service together, it strengthens relationships. I'll just share this from Gita Nagari organization, the Gita Nagari retreat. Some of you go regularly. Some of you have heard about it and haven't gone yet. But there's just to make it really simple, there's two models. One is we share the responsibility of, because we're bringing in 300 people that aren't normally there, plus the people that are there. So that's a lot of infrastructure. There's some devotees that left today. to go set up for what, when the 300 of us arrive. And then there's the operational thing. There's the bathrooms, there's the boga, there's the cooking, there's the serve out, there's the cleanup, there's, you know, there's all the accommodations and all kinds of things, people's needs and children and children's programs, and it's a lot of organization. So what we could do, we looked at two models. One model is we just charge a little bit more and hire some people that do all the infrastructure stuff. They do all the cooking, they do all the cutting, they do all the cleaning, and they're having a party. And there's the other model that we don't charge a little bit extra more, we just like break even. And then everyone rolls their sleeve up a little bit. So purposefully we chose the second model because it strengthens relationships where devotees to do things together. Without detail. It's just, and what we've been doing for the past number of years, what happens is a few devotees do most of the work. And, you know, other devotees that don't do most of the work, they pass by and say, "Wow, you're so dedicated, you really work hard," and then they keep walking. And they don't mind that, but they feel those devotees are missing out on the opportunity of strengthening their relationships with one another by doing common service together. So that's the model in Gita Nagari, and the same can apply any place. You know, there's Rath Yatra coming up and the Festival of Holy Name coming up, and a few people can do everything, and that's fine. But a number of people can do other things, some things, and that strengthens relationships. It enriches your experience of the event, if you're involved in the event, rather than just you go for the party and then you go home. It's kind of like how Bhakti Riksha works. It's smaller. But so everyone cooks a little something, and the pressure doesn't go on one person to cook everything, and it's nice. And then the cleanup afterwards is not, you know, it's not the host cleans up. There's some people that help, and it strengthens relationships when you do things that way. Besides, many hands make light work. It strengthens relationships. So like that, on the theme of what I'm speaking about, I'm happy to encourage. Now, it would be ideal, in one sense it would be ideal, if in my schedule I, you know, didn't do what I just did today. But, you know, in the morning, give morning class in Detroit, then come here, midday program and evening program. If I just didn't do that, and just one Saturday is just, you know, spend time with the Palatine group, and from morning till night, you know, spend time figuring out, okay, what do you guys want to do? Yeah. I could do that, or Nityananda Pran can do that, because he's actually, I mean, I would rely on him because he does it anyways. Like, you know, I'm GBC in Minneapolis. He doesn't have anything to do with Minneapolis, but he understands the procedure because he's done it here. He's done it with St. Louis the last 3 years. So he's taken, you know, what the corporate model is, and he has supplied it to the religious form of volunteerism. And how do you get a plan? He would do a better job. Although you might like it better if I was doing the job.
I just want
to see it happen.
Like somebody like looking out for us, so to speak. I was there. Yeah. And of course you have to want it, and I think it's there from the other side. Yeah, inside.
Well, let me discuss it with him.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll figure something out. I mean, is this something, you're saying yes. Is this something that you would like to see?
Yes.
Okay.
So only thing, Maharaj, about schooling, we had discussion earlier, I mean, not like we started homeschooling Anushree, and the problem we faced was different age groups. So in our community we have a very varied age groups. So
yes,
it's hard to have one school with all kids put together.
It's the idea of planning isn't put the square peg in the round hole somehow or other. That's not what planning is. There's a preset agenda and it just, no, the square peg is going to go in that round hole. That's the objective. Okay, let's have a little meeting. That's not the plan. That's not how it works. What does everybody want to do? Yeah, that's how it works. And then, so then you get this long list of possible things, just free-flowing possible things. And, you know, that gets, like, nice and full. And then you go through and say, you know, are any of these fit into groups? Then you get some groups. And then, okay, now we have like 8 groups or 5 groups or whatever it is, number of groups of things with some subsets. And this, we're going to call this one by this name. And so then you have groups. Then you prioritize them. Which, what do you all feel is most important out of these 5 or 8 things? Which gets an A, which gets a B, which gets a... Okay, let's focus on the A group for now. It's not this other thing. There may be that somebody feels really strong about something. It's not, didn't get in the A list. They can still do that something. But as a group together, what are the things that we'd like to do together? Maybe it's, you know, have a Gorpanim festival. Or maybe it's, you know, have whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever everyone feels it is. Do that.
Even like 32 rounds once we had
it. Something, whatever it is, whatever it is. Okay, let's do something. Let's look. So then you have, okay, here's a goal, and now what are some of the things that we need to get the goal together? Who's the best person who'd like to do this thing? Who'd like to do that? Okay, fantastic. Okay, next one. That's how you do it. So it's better to have successes on things that devotees share, and then its relationships will strengthen, and Krishna consciousness will flow, and then we can do that. Let's think about what else we can do. Yeah, okay. I'll speak with him and see. Maybe I'm just, you know, thinking out loud. Maybe, like tomorrow, kind of a thing, that I'll be giving a class tomorrow morning. So maybe it could be I give a Saturday, Sunday morning class, he stays behind and begins doesn't go to the Naperville Center, but has a session with all of you, and so he doesn't have to wait till I'm here. It can be another, but that kind of a thing. Have a morning class and then continue with some other discussion, whether I'm here or not here, this kind of something. Something. Yes?
In this temple, without the temple model, when there is an affiliation to a temple, so how do we prioritize our time and energy in terms of associating in the immediate Sangha versus associating in the larger temple Sangha? Is there a guiding principle
with which language? Well, it's a little bit like you have a family. And you spend most of your time with your family. And it's appropriate that you spend most of your time with your family. And then, now, your family is associating with other families. And the most proximate association with other families is right here. So it would make sense that concentric circle out, a lot of time and energy would go with the families here. And then the next concentric circle out is something you do at Kishore Kishore Mandir. That's not what's happening right now, but that would make sense. And let's take, you know, the devotees in Naperville. There's their family, there's the Naperville Center, and they do some things with Kishore Kishore Mandir. Yes? Like that. time-wise.
So it doesn't matter whether it's a temple without a temple model versus a temple.
Yeah. And now I'm speaking as GBC. This guy, I got my GBC hat on. It's fine. It's fine. And what will happen is if the Palpatine Sangha becomes strong, what's going to happen? It's not going to take away. It's going to grow. And then those times that there is some service or some function at Kishore Kishore Temple, there'll be more of you going to Kishore Kishore Temple, because you'll have this nice attractive Sangha that has attracted other people. It's going to happen like that. So it doesn't take away, it's just different. Not less, it's different. Not less versus more. And as far as Krishna consciousness, it's natural that there's, for you and your family members, the Sangha that's proximate is going to be this greatest resource to help you grow in Krishna consciousness. And that's the purpose. It's not yay, Kishore Kishore, and boo on anything else. It's Krishna consciousness. Your and your family's Krishna consciousness. And family by family. So the community. And then the community and this community and that community are strong. It's going to make the Kishore Kishore congregation very strong. It's not a win-lose situation. You have something.
I wanted to introduce Satish Prabhu. We are very close to our community, and we are very close. And twice they have volunteered our for programs at their home. They have been basement. They made the basement just for programs and other things. So tomorrow again we are having a puppet show at their house.
Okay.
So both Telegram community invited him. He is a nice volunteer for all such programs.
Probably a more suitable space than this one. He's humble. Okay, we have some people sitting out on the stove over there. Yeah, they're happy. Next to the prasada. Yes.
I just wanted to make a small...
Speak a little louder.
I just wanted to... I feel like saying this, that when you talk about the Palatine community, my mind also goes to not just the immediate neighbors here, but there are others.
Sure.
Also. So I'm feeling that they're also part of this, and
yes.
I just want to say that.
Okay. I thought I was saying that myself. Like, friendly towards all others, and there's all others. And those persons, like giving this example of the lady that came for their, they just thought, let's have a Ram Navami celebration. So I don't know how they let people in their subdivision know. And they even said some people, so an Indian lady came, but they had a self-realization seminar, five parts. And they had a number of Western people come. And one of the ladies that came had association with ISKCON at some other place. And that she didn't even know there were devotees in her area because they went out of their way. So now she knows, and she's starting to come to their Bhakti Vriksha gathering. Now they're going to ask her, please come regularly, because we would like to reach out to the American population, and maybe you can help us, or we'd like to help you. How can we help you, and how can you help us do that? So she has some particular service. And just like that, they're also part of us, or using the Prikshit Maharaj example, or the Madhyama Adhikari example, others. And a friendly attitude towards them, a kind and friendly attitude towards them. How can I, in the real, in the spiritual sense of what friendship is? Okay, I think we're done. Thank you very much. for the Prabhupada.
Sarveshwar Rupa Swami Maharaj.
Jai.